the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It's not right.
This is probably one of the worst times that we've seen.
But I don't understand why the entire Congress.
She told me a teacher told her to put her hair in her.
Juicy burger
was an attractive fact.
And the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is the show where truth is our bitch. And that means that that is the primary call of this show, truth. Truth, baby. We go places other talk shows just could not possibly go, and we do that because it is an important part of our mission. And together, we cannot fall. United we stand, divided we fall, bud.
Right.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is radio for patriots by patriots. You hear that? That's the way a patriot's shoe sounds when it hits the pavement. Tonight's government shutdown has been averted after a day of bargaining. Now, whether they actually have a deal or not, that may well be, but the fact is they've got an agreement to extend the operation of the government through the 15th of April. They say that they have an agreement in principle, but they haven't voted on it. I don't think the actual total membership of the House of Representatives has seen it. And they have not actually put it into language that anybody could sit down and read and say, oh, this is in it and that's in it. So when you say they have an agreement, it's an agreement in principle, but we'll see whether the leadership is able to pull it off. Parents are getting their kids cosmetic surgery, if you can believe this, and why? To prevent bullying. In a moment, Clara Bingham joins us from Kendall Elementary School in Bell, California, to talk about that. Plus, Out of Work will tell you companies that are hiring and the most new employees that are being hired at those companies. Clara Bingham and David G. Hall. David G. Hall with us later on tonight. He'll be talking about Texas and the raising of the speed limit in Texas, proposed to 85 miles an hour. 877-876-7445, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and our affiliate spotlight tonight in Orlando, Florida, WEUS, 810 AM, and in Scott City, Kansas, KYUL, 1310 AM. Great stations on the Phil Hendry Network, and our website is philhendryshow.com. This is where you go for live streaming video of our show right now, which is in high definition, that is HD television, or webcasting, if you will. And you know, this show is the only radio show worth actually watching, so we do deliver it in a very, very good quality picture. You can also get archives of this radio show, thousands and thousands and thousands, the largest single repository of any radio show anywhere in the world. And that was verified for me as recently as this evening by our contacts in the internet media business. Also, news feeds, also guaranteed email response, also our Phil Hendry Show merchandise. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. All right, we are very happy to have Clara Bingham coming up on the line with us in a moment, but and I know that she is waiting on hold, but or that is Ms. Bingham there on the phone.
Yeah, she's waiting.
All right, I just wanted to make this point that there is a story we're following for you that bullying of students has apparently caused some parents to go out and get their kids cosmetic surgery. And these bullying-related incidents, as you know, also include suicides, some terribly tragic things that befall kids who are bullied. Whether or not the bullying causes suicide, I am not personally, I don't agree with that. And I've got a lot of psychiatric, psychological, and therapeutic literature to back me up. But it continues to be highlighted in the media. Parents are battling with the idea of cosmetic surgery to alter their child's appearance in an effort to prevent future bullying. Here is psychiatrist Dr. Oscar Buckstein from the University of Texas.
What? Buckstein.
No, it ain't Buckstein, and it isn't. Excuse me, folks.
Ma'am.
And don't point at the, when I'm reading, bud, don't stick your finger and go butt stained. You know, don't do that because that only makes me angry. And look at that. You got juice all over it, whatever that is.
It's orange juice.
That's nice that it's orange juice. Psychiatrist Dr. Oscar Buckstein from the University of Texas tells ABC News that cosmetic surgery should be the last step taken in dealing with bullying. Some parents turn to cosmetic surgery to protect children from future bullying. Let's hear what the doc says.
Surgery is kind of the last, not gasp, but the last thing one would do. First is to inquire the nature of the teasing, who is doing the teasing. Teasing, of course, and bullying has gotten a lot of attention recently for good reason. This is something that, although it has occurred since probably time immemorial, and probably just about everyone can probably give an instance of being teased, nevertheless, we understand now the consequences, particularly for vulnerable kids.
It's a very, very good point, and joining us right now is middle school teacher Clara Bingham from Kendall Elementary. I thought it was in Bell. Where are you located, Ms. Bingham?
Yes, so we are in Downey, California.
You're in Downey, okay. Now, you heard the doctor, and you know that there are parents that are actually opting for this kind of cosmetic surgery to prevent bullying. Could you tell us what kind?
I think some of these parents, and we do agree with the doctor that this is very, very ill-advised. Some of the parents are opting for, it can be rhinoplasty, which is the nose being altered somehow. What is called otoplasty or otoplasty, I don't know the actual pronunciation, that is for what we used to call pinning of the ears.
A child that might have big ears.
A child that might be perceived to have oversized ears. We have to know that children grow into their features. Children are different from adults because they're obviously still growing. And there are some areas of a physiognomy, which is the body, that grow faster than others. We may often make comments on children having larger hands or larger feet, first things that grow to a relatively adult size on a human being would be the hands or the feet, especially during the adolescent period when a child begins to get larger. So we thoroughly disagree with parents taking this option and unilaterally making a decision that a child should have this kind of surgery.
All right, well, Ms. Bingham, to interrupt you, I know that that's what you're saying, but is there not a child that is being, you are endorsing right now at your school, one child having this otoplasty that you're talking about?
Well, I was going to get to that, Phil.
Well, is that, but you don't believe in that surgery, and yet you are, you yourself and other members of the school are endorsing plastic surgery for this one young boy?
Well, I was going to get to that, and here is, I did want the opportunity to give the information to your audience in a little bit more of a sequence of events, but you have brought it up.
Well, I apologize, but you were making it sound like you did not agree with this.
I do not agree with parents unilaterally making this decision. I do not, no.
So what then?
Well, as I was going to say, we feel this is a decision that is strictly reserved for the school, that the parents are emotionally tied to the child, that these parents have, in other words, with that emotional connection, their judgment is clouded when it comes to whether or not a child should have some kind of cosmetic surgery to alter the features of that child so that that child is not bullied.
Do you agree that a kid's looks, a child's features, a child's that this contributes to bullying?
I think in some cases, in the case of this one young boy whose name I do not want to mention, his first name is, I won't give you his last name, his first name is Roderick, or the kids call him Rod. He has these oversized ears that we were talking about, or large ears, and they are quite striking. They are not what I would say. They're certainly not malformed. So his body is properly formed, but they are large ears in that they evoke quite a bit of response from the children.
Now, all right, so the kids are laughing at him, and I get that.
Yes, quite a bit.
All right. And you are saying that did the parents want this cosmetic surgery?
The parents did not, and that's why I say that this is a decision that is best left up to the school.
All right, so this is a slightly different thing. The parents don't want this cosmetic surgery. What if they did?
Well, the final decision would have to fall to the school as to whether or not the child gets the cosmetic surgery, because we are educators, and we have been through a process of educating ourselves, not only in the educational arts, but in psychology, child psychology, behavior, and so on. We do not think that parents are in a position psychologically to adequately make a decision like that. And to that end, we don't want a parent making a decision that a child not get plastic surgery, and the child winds up going through school looking his looks incite other children.
All right. Okay. So now that I got the story out here, what I'm hearing you say is that this child's looks incite other kids to make fun of him. And you are, as a administrator and as a teacher, you are reaching now into the life of this child. And I think you said to me that the parents don't want this surgery.
The point of what I'm...
No, but you said the parents don't want the surgery.
The parents do not want the surgery, but the school has to exercise judgment. Is this child inciting other children with his looks?
How can a child incite somebody with his... When do we say, you know what, you get used to it, this is how big his ears are? As opposed to saying, wow, your ears are really big and you're making these kids laugh, we better get surgery, even if the parents don't want it. At what point do you draw that line?
That is a decision we have to make as a school, Phil.
Okay, that's exactly what I thought, and that's exactly what I disagree with, Ms. Bingham, with all due respect, because you are an entity, a government entity, that is now reaching into the life of this family and this child, and you are saying we mandate that this child have his ears pinned back or otherwise have this autoplasty surgery so that his ears aren't so big he's provoking people.
And I think that it's very unfortunate that media members like you turn everything into an Orwellian debate. I have worked with children my entire life.
No, look, Ms. Bingham...
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I've worked with children my entire life. I know what is best for my students. I know what to recommend. And I am here telling you tonight, and I know there are parents that will agree with me. I also know there are teachers that will agree with me. When I look at this child and the ears on this child and the laughter, and I went to those parents and I said, we need to have this surgery done on this child, and they said, no. And I said that his ears are provoking. I said he has a provoking or an insightful face. His face incites the other children. They refused. I said, that is very bad news because we're going to have to overrule you. And I can deal with that. But when we have an individual in media like yourself that gives these people this high and mighty idea that they're going to fight Big Brother, when in point of fact what they're doing is fighting someone that wants to help their child.
And they're fighting Big Brother. No.
No, they are not, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, no, they're fighting Big Brother because this is not a life-saving surgery. This boy doesn't need this surgery to help him breathe or to help his heart beat or to help him walk or to help him think better. He needs this surgery so the other kids won't laugh at him. And in laughing at him, disrupt the school. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with Clara Bingham. Plastic surgery for children who are bullied is being considered by some parents who believe that altering their child's looks might help them get through school without being bullied. Here is a teacher who doesn't believe parents should have that decision at all. It should be left up to the school. But in so doing, she is now endorsing surgery for one kid at their school that the parents don't want, having his ears pinned back. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. Is this another example of Big Brother now stepping into a family, into the dynamics of a family, and saying, you're going to have surgery so that you don't get bullied? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me, Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher at Kendall Elementary in Downey. We're talking about, on the Phil Hendry Show here this evening, radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the idea that some parents want to opt for plastic surgery for their children to avoid bullying. Now, I may not agree with that, or I may agree. I personally don't.
And I do not agree with it either, Mr. Hendry. I have tried to make that point very, very clear to you this evening.
No, not quite, because you said that you don't agree with it unless it's the school making the decision.
I feel in a situation such as this, where the absolute well-being of a child is at stake. Where the absolute well-being of this child is at stake, Mr. Hendry, the school must make the decision.
No, you cannot say that, ma'am. You can't say the absolute well-being of a child in our society, in American society, must fall ultimately with the school, okay?
You are aware of the fact that there are some parents that are arrested for not taking care of their children.
Of course I am, ma'am. I'm not countenancing a society turning its back on children when their parents are beating them, poisoning them, murdering them, keeping them from medical treatment, which has been done as well. I am saying, and that's just criminal behavior. Of course we protect children from that. This is not a criminal thing to say the child isn't getting plastic surgery.
Oh, it's not.
No, it is not.
And if that child does not get his ears or his nose or anything else that is physically provoking another child.
That idea that I'm physically provoking another child.
If surgery is not done and that boy winds up going to school with a crossbow and using that crossbow to pin a teacher against a tree. And I've seen that happen.
Good God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't believe that that provokes that kind of psychotic or psychopathic behavior in a child. I think there's a problem much, much deeper. Reagan in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hold on, Reagan, because we are putting in a new phone system. I'm having to go to another bank. Hello, Reagan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Clara Bingham.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, the only thing that really bothers me about this entire conversation is your guest tonight saying that a school has the right to intervene in a child's well-being, albeit you are there to academically educate these children, but you're there to help make sure that they become well-rounded human beings,
that
they become the future of our society. But I don't understand why you're letting these children who are already facing the world with a disfigurement, albeit given by God, and not redirecting these other children that are laughing at them and calling them out. If you're going to have this one child have his ears pinned back, then you better go through the entire school and make sure that everyone that's registered there isn't obese. Have them go ahead and have their lap bands.
Well, I don't know that that provokes anyone.
No,
to make that decision. And because a child is obese does not necessarily provoke a big-eared kid is going to get...
You know what? You've had for 30 minutes. You need to stop.
Right.
You need to stop.
Let the lady...
Well, I don't... You can understand how large ears will provoke another child.
No, I don't understand that. No, I personally don't.
I had big ears
as a kid.
Another thing... What are you making sure that the parents that have children that are born with cleft palates have their lips fixed? Are you making sure that the parents what makes a child with the cleft palate different than a child with enlarged ears? What makes
that
them different?
Child,
why are you not intervening
you.
In that child's life?
No, you don't have to in that instance because those children
why would
are
you?
Pitied.
What makes it different? Why aren't
They're
you upholding the discriminatory actions of the school?
I'd like to answer that question, Mr. Hendry, if I might.
Go ahead.
Because a child with a cleft palate or a foot that's, I don't know what you call it, club foot, that elicits pity, not bullying. And so those children pretty much we can leave alone.
They get left alone, man. And on what grounds were you academically given this right to choose who gets left alone and who doesn't?
Well, I will tell you, if I had you in my class, I'd probably opt for a zipper.
Street Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And you realize that back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we got David G. Hall coming up next hour to talk about the speed limit in Texas and why he wants me editorially to be opposed to it, the 85-mile-an-hour speed limit. Clara Bingham joins us, a middle school teacher from Kendall Elementary in Downey. Ms. Bingham, your last comment to my last caller I don't think was called for because you said to her, well, if it was you, I'd put a zipper on you.
I'd like to explain that, Mr. Henry, because that woman was not, I don't think she was being fair. She asked me, why don't we demand surgery for fat children or these or a child with a cleft palate? These are not children that are going to provoke bullying. We protect those children who are born with this kind of malformation of the body. It could be something that's a birth defect. It could be a thyroid. We're not talking about children like that.
Well, how do you protect them? What do? As soon as you see someone bullying a child that has perhaps that kind of physical deformity, you will intercede?
Yeah, most certainly, because those children do draw your attention. If a child is simply born with the big ears, as is this child, Roderick, we have to make a judgment call. I'm going to stand and make sure a fat kid doesn't get pushed around before I'm going to help out a child. We have certain terms we use as teachers for these. For instance, Mighty Mouse is what we call a child with a large ears. If a child has an oversized nose, sing the song Sunrise, Sunset. And
well, the oversized nose, Sunrise, Sunset, that's a song from Fiddler on the Roof. So that's a Jewish reference?
It's simply to protect its code, that's all. It is simply code the same way the military has code.
And no, that's to me, the whole thing is some elaborate government and school district-sponsored, I don't know, operation to influence families and their decisions. Here is Kim in Abilene, Texas. Kim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just want to know where the line's drawn with this woman, and where do you stop? Do you take these kids that may not be seen as attractive in this woman's eyes or this school system's eyes, and you start deciding mm-hmm. that they need plastic surgery? Is that what you're doing? Because
I don't think
you
so.
Know,
no, I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Well, I think what we're saying, it would be something such as you, Kim, you would agree if a kid's
no,
got ears.
No, I don't agree.
The big ears.
I most definitely do not agree, because I think that a lot of kids, especially if you're talking school-age children, they eventually do grow up, and they do grow into, say, if you think that they've got big
right.
ears, they do grow
right.
up, and they do get, they grow into their body parts. And so if you're talking about school-age children, and bullying is unacceptable of any age in school children, and I think that teachers have the responsibility to protect these children in our school systems, and it just burns my heart.
That's what we're trying to do. And when you and Mr. Henry say that children grow into their body, into these different larger, quicker-growing aspects of our physiognomy, such as feet. And
yeah, like I told you, I had big ears as a kid. Nobody's going to look at me today and say I've got big, wide ears. I had them as a child.
Yes, but some adults do have huge ears.
Say
hello,
what?
Barack Obama. Barack Obama, thank you. So, I don't
cares?
Know what that means, so what?
Who cares?
Well, we care, because then the other children start mocking and laughing and making airplane jokes
but
and
kids
otherwise
are kids.
Pushing.
Kids are going to make fun of other children. They may not
I
think
understand.
A kid is attractive, and they are going to make fun of another child, period. That is children.
That is
how
That's
they
true.
Are going
However,
to do.
If that child who has those large ears and another child looks at him, makes a joke, And the big-eared kid goes home and gets a hand grenade. Now, you tell me.
Oh, come on. I mean, again, this goes to the thing of bullying and violence. What causes it?
If that child with the big ears goes home and gets a hand grenade, I'd like
really?
To respond to that.
Are you really
like
going
to
go there? That is so ludicrous. I can't even believe you're going to go there. And I want to know who's exactly funding your stupidness. Because that is just totally ridiculous that you would even go there. Because what if you pin this child's ears back? What if you pin this child's ears back and then he does grow and his body wasn't supposed to be pinned back? Then what are you going to do? because that would be more cruel.
It wasn't supposed to be pinned back.
That's what if you pin his ears back and say that it's like, and it's like the Phil Henry and the Phil Henrys of the world, and his body was supposed to grow into those ears, and you've pinned them back, and then he's going to be lining up even worse shape than you, and you've made him in worse shape than he was before.
I can tell you, Kim, I have seen Phil Henry. I don't know if he grew into anything.
Thank you very much for that.
I am joking, Phil.
Well, this is not a time for joking. This is a very good question. And, and you know, what if that child, like you said...
What if a woman gets two big breasts and she had them enhanced? Are you going to say she can go into that? We live in a society now...
What are you talking about, a woman getting a breast enhancement job? We're talking about children, and we're talking about... Are you saying that you would get breast enhancement for a kid?
If you know for a fact she's going to be flat. Are you
I would make fun
would
of as a child for that. And does it really matter?
It hurt you, didn't it? Why, what if we went out and got you big, if we got you big ones?
When she's a kid, I would never in a...
Well...
That is so ludicrous that you would do that to a child.
All right. Kim, thanks for your call. Yeah, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, it says Glenn. I'm sorry. Let's go to Glenn here on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I believe that the callousness with which this lady has taken responsibility to decide what defects or what constitutes a defect, first of all, and what ones need to be treated and what ones don't, I think that's one of the most amazing points that she's made from the beginning of her conversation. But she also said...
In what way, sir? In what way, sir?
That you had said that the flippantness, whenever you said that the parents had decided not to have this child's ears surgically altered, and you said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, we're going to have to overrule you. Just as if this was just a decision that just, I don't know, whether you were going to order a hamburger instead of an order of fries. And you admit that you and the other teachers can and do protect children that are being picked on that are obese and that, but you, for some reason, decide you're not going to protect these children. Instead, you're going to make them look like everybody else so they don't get picked on. It's the other kids that's on the picking is the ones
accurate.
You need to be working on. And the last comment I'd like to make is that I believe that for grown people, educated people like you and your other staff to have code, to even have such ridiculous names and songs and things like that to sing to refer to other children that may not look like everybody else, I think that is terrible for teachers
to do that. I don't know what the man's referring to. When he says code,
you said you had some code. Do you recall that?
When we were talking about what? I said that we had a...
You said you called children with big ears Mighty Mouse.
Yes, that is simply that's shorthand, yes.
Okay. I mean, isn't that a little childish? Can't you say, you know, this young man, his name is Roderick or whoever...
We have a shorthand and a code. It's used in the military. I don't get it. Why you gentlemen would be upset with that? We simply say, "Here come Mighty Mouse." Here come, you know, sunrise, sunset.
And that I think is anti-Semitic too. By the way,
in what way?
A big nose, fiddler on the roof.
Well, we have to use a shorthand. The gentleman asked me why we don't protect all the children. We don't have all the people to protect those children. So we have to look at
but
who
you're
the
willing,
children at risk.
The point is you are willing to decide what children need protected and what ones you would rather just get rid of the problem through plastic surgery or whatever other means might be available. That's
but we
the
do
point.
Have to make that judgment.
What
yes,
gives
we
you
do
the
have
right
to, make, that
to make the decision that one child being picked on, you need to stop that by going to the source of the problem and telling those children that's the wrong thing for you to do, pick on this young man, he has a thyroid problem, he can't help it, then he's overweight. Instead, with the child's big ears, instead of telling them he can't help that, Instead, well, you're willing
just,
to say what he
do
needs
that
to be
because
certain for
all that. Well, a kid with a look, a child with a cleft palate. You're going to say either we get surgery or just throw your hands up and say that child, that's going to be rough. You know, might as well keep the kids off that child because his face is, you know. Now, if you have a
the
child,
the point is
ears,
the decision doesn't lie
God.
With you.
How
you're
how
not
cold.
Qualified to say what defects are okay and what aren't.
I can't see if a kid has mighty mouse ear. I have said before, it does not take a brain surgeon to know, here comes a child that's got the ears of Mighty Mouse, let's say. There's only one choice to make. And
well, if the parents don't think the kid's ears are all that big, what gives you the right to say it?
Because I'm an educator. I've dealt with a Mighty Mouse. I've dealt with Sunrise Sunset. I've dealt with all of it. These parents only know one thing. I love my little boy. He's the most handsome thing I've ever seen in my life. Even though if that child got, if he ran too fast, he'd take off. That's the joke we use.
And, you know,
it's real funny, isn't it?
Poetic.
All right.
We could get poetic with the beauties in the eye of the beholder. You're saying he's the most beautiful young boy you've ever seen and stuff like. Maybe his parents think he is the most beautiful young man they've ever seen just the way he is.
We have to set them straight, don't we?
Set them straight? They already know. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show. Here is Brian in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, the more I listen to this lady, the crazier I think that she is. If my child was a student in that school, she wouldn't be there much longer, especially after the comments like Mighty Mouse and things like that, because all they're doing is making fun of that student.
No, I am
she
not.
She ain't no better than, she isn't any better than the students that are making fun of that child.
Exactly.
I don't go up to that child and say, hey, Mighty Mouse. I don't
no, you do it. You do it in the privacy of your, you know, of the people, your peers that you work with. So all you all are doing
is
making fun of that child amongst yourselves.
We do it in the ladies' can, all right? So the child isn't going to hear it. So
in the ladies' can? Are you talking about the female teacher's restroom?
No, I'm talking about any of the teachers.
No, this when she said that they, where do you say?
If we want to make fun of a child and laugh about it, we don't do that. But if we want to say, you know, I saw Mighty Mouse today, we don't do it in front of the child. We do it in the ladies' kids. I say, well, Mr. Henry doesn't want me to use the term. In the restroom.
Oh, so it's okay for y'all to make fun of the child is what you're saying.
But we're not doing it in front of the child. That's the difference. When you go up to a child
and
you say,
not a difference. If you all made fun of my child like that, I would have a problem whether you did it in front of my child or not. Would you like it if somebody made fun of
you? How would
you
know? How would I know?
Things get around. Things get around. What if
a
student overheard you?
I very much value. I value that our children are not hurt. And I tell all our teachers.
You don't sound like you value it because all you're doing is telling that child
you're on the radio right now.
You're not good enough to be the way that you are. We need to alter you. That's supposed to help that child.
Isn't that what you're saying to a child with a cleft palate?
Yeah. That's different.
No, that is completely different. That child's having a hard time eating. That child's having a hard time talking. That child is obviously sees that he is radically different from other people. That's a different thing entirely, and it's a physical malformation that needs to be corrected. Large ears are not.
Says who? If a child has big, I mean big, Dumbo the elephant ears, you don't want to...
It sounds to me like, you know, that child doesn't fit your picture of society, so you want to change them. So, you know, that makes that child feel real good, doesn't it? You really value
fun of
not
Obama.
Hurting your children.
Everybody's making fun of Obama for his big ears. Okay. And they're not all that big, so.
So you figure you'll go ahead and pin this kid's ears back so he doesn't have to be mocked like Obama?
I mean, it's amazing you gentlemen don't understand. This kid's got Dumbo ears.
A minute ago, you told me, what do you mean Dumbo ears? You mean like like Dumbo the elephant?
I'm telling you that, in other words, if I think one of his ears is as big as his head. I really I swear to God.
Well, you know what? You don't have, as I said, and as the other lady said, and this gentleman said, you don't have the qualifications to make that call. And on top of everything else, thank you very much, Brian, for your call. On top of everything else, once again, here comes Big Brother. Here comes the government telling us one of his ears is as big as his head. And so, therefore, the school is telling these parents that they have to have surgery. The kid's got to have his ears pinned back. And it doesn't matter what you think, Mr. and Mrs. America. That's how nuts it's gotten. We don't want to question whether a parent, you know, we will say things like the child needs to have medical assistance. The parent religiously will not allow that to happen. The child could die. Life and death things, right? That's what society should be interested in. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our last segment here with Clara Bingham. And cosmetic surgery that is being used by or is being chosen by parents to protect their children from bullies. Well, this cosmetic surgery is now something that Ms. Bingham says should only be the province of the schools. They make the decisions, and they've made the decision in one instance to have some kids' ears pinned back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
No, I'm not making teachers out to be the bad. Back with Clara Bingham here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I believe you've made teachers very much the target here, Phil. And we do a lot of good work.
I don't blame. I'm not. I agree with you. The teachers, a lot of teachers do good work. What you're doing, though, taking the almost the power of God into your hands and saying this child needs plastic surgery and that child doesn't. Let's go to Dee in Topeka, Kansas. And Dee, let's see, Dee, you were on the air. Thanks for calling us. You're on with Clara Bingham. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes.
I don't think I'm God. I can assure you, I don't think I'm God.
Go ahead, Dee.
Yes, I'm calling, and I wanted to state up front that one of my best friends is a teacher, so I highly support teachers.
Thank you very much.
But this aspect of teachers playing God and telling the parents what should and shouldn't be done with their child, so-called to their looks, because they could get bullying, that is truly bizarre. Because what is doing is, it the message to this young child is, you're not okay. And any child is okay he looks.
They're not. They're not okay.
According to you, they're not.
Let
the lady finish, Dee. Go ahead.
The second point I'd like to make is the real issue here is the bullies. And the bullies are the ones that need to be dealt with. And by avoiding dealing with the bullies, by saying, okay, the child changes the ear, we'll have to deal with the bullies then.
You're going slow, and we need to pick it up.
Yeah, I'll judge whether she's going slow or not.
We shouldn't lie to children. If they look like a freak, we have to be honest with them.
A freak? Boy, you use some language.
The message to the bullies is that the bullies are in control of the classroom.
No, that is not true at all. The teacher is always in control. And the reason why I'm in control is I'm the one, I can go to a, you cannot imagine, I can go to a home and tell the parents, you see the kid? The nose. You've got to do something with the nose. That is a wonderful thing to be able to do.
If you came to my house, I would, and I would escort you to the front door as quickly as I could, and I don't have anything else to say except
those two points.
I think it is deplorable what you are presenting tonight?
Well, ma'am, I'm simply saying that if your child's ears distracted the class and provoked other children to say, there go Mighty Mouse Boy, I would have to insist that you and your husband...
That child, God made that child that way.
Well, God, now you're blaming God because the kid has got an ear bigger than his head. You think God would do that on purpose?
I couldn't even hear what you said.
You can't hear what I'm saying.
You're not making sense.
Are you drinking?
Phil Hendry.
How's he drunk?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Surgery is kind of the last, not gasp, but...
The bill that I'm introducing would prohibit any restaurant from offering...
Okay, so for it to be coming to a center,
it's not right.
But I don't understand why... The entire Congress is
giant douche nozzle.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night to bring you to that truth. And, as I've often said on the show, we just go places other talk shows cannot go, would not go, should not go, because they don't know how to go there. We thank you for being with us. We also thank Clara Bingham for being a part of our last hour as we talked about children and education and whatnot. And for those of you who are watching our video cast right now, we have had some minor technical... We're not having any technical problems other than the fact that Phil doesn't quite know how to, use the color plat, I think, is the problem.
Yeah, you got all messed up.
Well, that looks good, whatever I did there, but... I've decided to put us out near the El Pacifico here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com. What does that mean? It means you can go and check out our live streaming video of the show if you want to. Our live streaming audio is there as well on our video feed. And all of our archives are available to you at philhendryshow.com as well. And we have thousands of hours of those archives. We also have our store, which is open. Excuse me.
Woo! Need some water?
Yeah, I'd love some water. Well, why don't you guys go get me some water then?
Oh, sorry.
If I need some water, yeah, I could use some water. So, in any event, join us over at philhendryshow.com for all that we have to offer. This hour, David G. Hall, who is the vice president of our syndication arm, is going to join us because this news story out of Texas, which is very interesting and it's actually very welcome, I think. And the news story out of Texas is that Texas could be raising its speed limits to 85 miles per hour. Now, I consider that to be a welcome move. I have never really understood why speed limits are the way they are. I've never understood why it is a speed limit is strictly 55. I understand that there was a time that we needed to conserve fuel. And I know and I remember very, very vividly when the speed limit was changed in this country to a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. It was back during the initial gas crunch or the gas crisis of 1975. During that time, because of the Arab oil embargo that was going on, the Arab OPEC nations decided that they could actually, pardon me for putting it this way, that they could actually toy with pissing off Uncle Sam. And in so doing, they decided that they would, boycott or at least try to keep the oil from the United States. Now, it was made very clear to those countries, if that ever took place again, it would mean war. If there was ever a concerted effort on the part of OPEC to use energy as a political maneuver, which is what they were doing because they did not like the support the West was giving Israel, that there wouldn't be any questions asked, there wouldn't be any nice phone call, there would be no discussion, it's war. It is a high. It would be an open. It would be perceived as. And this conversation was started by Richard Nixon. It was continued not only by Gerald Ford, but also Jimmy Carter. That's how important these things were. So that having been done, we sort of positioned ourselves. We sort of set up the posture that to this day continues. In the state of Texas, it is you know, obviously a state that's known for bragging a little bit, and the state of Texas has said that they are toying with the idea of increasing the speed limit on long stretches of roadway to 85 miles per hour, and it's getting traction, as they say. David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication, is on the line with us here from South Pasadena. David, how are you?
Doing very well, Phil. Thank you for allowing me to come on a program this evening and talk about this, because it's a it's an issue that I think the American people need to get involved in. And
well, this is a Texas issue, so why do the American people need to get involved in it?
Because I think it could be something that would not only be carried over into their state, but it does affect the rest of us. And I think it's a I think it's a move being made by the state of Texas that could be interpreted as hostile. And I'll tell you why. The state of Texas lies right smack dab in the middle of the American Union in the southern portion. It is in the what we call the Southwest, but it lies between really the geographic Southwest and the geographic Southeast. The state of Texas is a very, very big state, and if one is traversing the southeast to the southwest, one must go through Texas. I believe that Texas is making their speed limit an 85-mile-an-hour limit, or at least considering that, because they do not want to have a lot of people stopping, perhaps staying in Texas, but they want to hasten this westward movement so that Texas remains a state that is with a manageable population, has a good tax base, but they're not going to overly tax people. They have a certain political structure that they're very happy with.
And well, because I was going to say, why wouldn't a state want people to stay?
I don't think, because Texas is a very attractive state, and they've got enough right now on their plate with the immigration situation. They've got the businesses and the people that they want to continue to build there. But I also think it's competitive. I think Texas wants to see California continue to suffer under the yoke of an extremely high population with a very, very difficult budget situation.
So you're saying that this is a...
Hold on. I'm not finished yet. What I want to do here is I want to get some phone calls going on this, Bill, because I want you to be in favor of what I'm saying. And I don't want...
You want me to be in favor of what?
I want you to be in favor of saying that the 85-mile-an-hour speed limit in Texas is dangerous. It will kill people. It will cause children... Obviously, there's great harm to children. And that's really what I want to say. But behind that, I think, are some other political considerations we could talk about.
All right, David G. Hall is with us. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Now, we're talking about the state of Texas raising the speed limit to 85. But that's a bad move, in your opinion. Why is that?
I just told you, because I think it's dangerous for children. It's dangerous. Obviously, it's going to take people's lives.
But you started out by saying you think that it's injurious to the California economy.
That is what I think is behind it, yes. That's what I really think. But I don't know that first of all, I don't think Texas wants you to know that. And I don't know that people are going to understand that. So the best way for us to fight the 85-mile-an-hour speed limit in Texas is to simply say that it will take the lives of children.
And the best way to fight any issue is to speak the truth about it.
Oh, well, Phil, I love you. There's a naivete about you that I really do like. But, you know, let's be grown up. And
what is ungrown up about speaking the truth? The truth is, if you believe the truth is, that look, David, who would stop the speed limit increase, okay? It should be up to the state, right? No big government interference. Who's going to stop it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Who's going to stop what? Is that one of those questions that Brandt wrote for you?
No, it's a question that I have. Who is going to stop the speed limit increase? Me? You? Who?
We are going to petition the government of Texas. That's who. Okay. And the government of Texas...
So there's no big government, there's no federal government interference.
If we have to get the federal government involved, we will. But the whole point is, we need... You're asking me questions that don't make any difference. Who's going to stop it? I'm telling you, we got to stop it, because kids will die. And
yeah, but you really... The real reason you think is we got to stop it because Texas wants to send a lot of people to California and overpopulate the state.
That's correct. That's correct. And also because we've got the home stretch burger stand that will not get off the ground and will basically be buried as the result of this 85-mile-an-hour speed limit, because people will not slow down to stop at the restaurant. They'll just keep right on going. But I can't come on your program and say that, because people will think that I'm being self-serving. They'll think that I am being that I am being obtuse. And they won't even comment. So we've got to get people on our side by simply saying the 85-mile-an-hour speed limit is going to hurt children by killing, you know...
Automobile accidents.
Exactly. Automobile accidents.
All right. We're talking with David G. Hall, 877-876-PHIL. Now, you've been on my show here now for the last, 11 minutes.
Well, you were fooling around with your video camera. I saw you fooling around with that thing. You could have come up with some better questions than the ones you're asking me right now.
Hey. The questions I'm asking you right now are very relevant, and they go right to the heart of this. Why are we asking Texas not to raise their speed limit? Is it any of our business? Okay.
Is it any of our business?
Boy, no, hold on. Is it any of our business? And then if we do have a reason, why aren't we telling people the reason? Why are we coming up with other reasons?
Because I told you that...
Why don't you rely on the intelligence of the people listening and the intelligence of the people voting and say, look, this is what I really think about this Texas speed limit. They want to make it they want people to get through their state fast so they come from the southeast all the way to California and overpopulate California. And that's going to hurt your hamburger stand business.
Well, you know what? It's not a hamburger stand business, as you just put it so derisively. It is a fast food franchise that I am investing in, and it is a part of, Phil, the American spirit, which is to invest in business. And yes, I'm investing in it, and they will be at freeway exits, and with an 85-mile-an-hour speed limit, who's going to want to stop at a restaurant when you can just floor it through the state of Texas? And if you're flooring it through the state of Texas, might as well go all the way to California. So what's happening is this. The national movement will be from the southeast to California. What does that mean? You've got a lot more southerners going out to California. They won't stop in Texas. They'll go to California where there's no money. The schools are terrible. The roadways are terrible. Everything else. Additionally, the fast food restaurant...
Yeah, I know. The fast food restaurant that you got is not going to get any customers.
That's correct.
David, I think what's happening here is you don't care about the people of Texas. All you care about is money.
No, that is not true.
Well, you just admitted it. You said that you care about your hamburger stand. You care about whether or not there's going to be a lot of people moving to California. But all of this is really has nothing to do with people, children, families, safety.
I'm telling your audience that it does. I'm telling you, since you asked me a very intrusive question, which is none of your business, I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? I got to know what the real reasons are. But you're telling my audience that you don't care anything about the people of Texas, just money, and that's a shameful, shameful attitude. Okay, so stop treating my listeners like they're idiots. Be open and honest. They can hear what we're talking about. They can hear you talking about your hamburger stand. They can hear you talking about your feeling that more Southerners are going to move to California because it'll be quicker for them to get through Texas. Instead, what you want to say, oh, the kids are going to die. Everybody that's against the speed limit says the same damn thing. Children are going to die. Families are going to die. Too many automobile accidents, etc., etc. Do you think that?
Well, Phil, I've never been smoked.
Do you think that the higher speed limit is going to cause more accidents?
I don't know. I think it's a safe bet, yes. I think it's a safe bet, but I'll tell you, that the people of Texas are going to rue the day that they didn't allow David Hall and his partners to have at least a fighting chance for their fast food money.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for, I guess, David G. Hall coming up next. He is against increasing the speed limit in Texas. Isn't that the state's business? And the ulterior motive that I have a fast food restaurant chain that I'd like to start, and the, you know, then the, this is trying to get people moving through Texas quicker, got nothing to do with it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. It's Phil Henry with David G. Hall. I need to explain to people, you do. You work. This is our company, right? You're one of our partners.
Right.
All right, so but this doesn't have anything to do with radio. This has to do with an outside business interest that you have.
This has to do with a lot. This has to do with the safety of the people of Texas. You ask me about what my real feeling is on a speed limit in Texas. I tell you that I'm very upset and I'm very concerned that they're trying to funnel traffic through their state so fast, they won't get anybody settling there. It all goes to California. But what I really think is going on is that outside business people like myself, I want to start become a partner in a hamburger chain that would be set up along the interstate. They don't want that, so they raise the speed limit to over 80 miles an hour so nobody stops at my restaurant.
You think that they're putting together that kind of a plan in Texas? What you know what I think it is?
What?
I think it we're finally sick and tired of having artificially low speed limits. I started the hour by saying, I remember when they lowered the speed limit from 65 to 55 back in the early 70s. It was the result of the Arab oil embargo and we had to save gasoline.
That's right.
Or we had to save oil. But those days are long gone. Now it's just a matter of, can you afford it? Well, we do have fluctuating supply. The fact is, the federal government controlling the speeds of people to make sure that we conserve oil, because oil is so preciously rare, we're going to run out of it tomorrow. That isn't the truth.
Well, I might add that it was Nixon, who was a Republican. You know, you and your conservatives, he's the guy that lowered the speed limit.
Well, I don't care who it was. I'm against it. It's another artificial, it's an unnecessary act by government. Always has been. And I'm glad they're raising the speed limit to 85. Frankly, I don't think we should have speed limits, but that's just my opinion. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jason in, Jason in Dallas. Go ahead, Jason. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good evening, Phil. A couple of points to your guest here this evening. Being a native Texaner, you apparently have never been to Texas because even, you know, we drive 85 anyway. The speed limit will have no effect on funneling, you know, trying to keep people out of our state. We have 550,000 square miles of room. We're more than happy to let anybody come in and stake a claim if they want to. Secondly,
what do you mean
trying to use the...
What do you mean stake a claim? You're using that term wrong. There's no staking claims in your state. Are you trying to tell me that it's the Oklahoma land rush?
I'm just saying that we have plenty of room for anyone that would like to relocate their families to Texas. We welcome you. We're very hospitable in Texas.
I know you're very hospitable, but that doesn't mean you want me to stay. Why would
we want anybody to stay? Because guess what? The more people that stay, that's more revenue for the state.
No, you have lower taxes there.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
No, we have a very good economy. Well, actually, could you let me finish my second point?
You don't want to tax people.
You let the man finish. He lives there. You don't.
Mr. Henry, I'm asking you to endorse what I'm saying.
I want to...
Just hang on.
Go ahead, sir.
Hang on. He's not bound to do what you say just because you work for his company. Second, my second point
was... Well, now you're telling me about my company. You're talking about Texas.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
Well,
my second point is that you're just like, you have no value to your argument, so you're doing just like everybody else does, and you're trying to throw, oh, it's for the kids, it's the safety of the kids, just like those stingy teachers up in Wisconsin that didn't want to have to pay into their own health insurance. They said, we're doing it for the kids. No, you're not. You're doing it for yourself. It has nothing to do with the kids. The parents can take care of the kids. We don't need anybody else worrying about our kids.
Well, you're totally wrong, because you know if you raise the speed limit to 85, you're going to have, you're not going to like the way I put this.
Why are kids going to be
but
playing
you've seen,
on the
you've
highway?
Seen roadkill. You've seen roadkill before, haven't you? It's going to
yeah, we have plenty of roadkill.
Oh, God.
Children are not going to be playing on the highways.
No, they'll just be getting ejected from cars going 85 miles an hour.
Have you ever driven in Texas, sir? Have you ever driven in Texas?
Yes, I have.
We do 85 miles an hour anyway.
I was trying to get through Texas for an entire summer. That's how
it was. It has no effect. The speed limit has no effect on how we drive.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Texas speed limit, should they raise it to 85?
Phil Henry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
In the news, and we will talk about the news at the top of the hour, a budget extension, some sort of extension has been passed by the House. This is not necessarily a budget, but they are keeping the government open through the 15th. We'll talk about that at the top of the hour. We have David G. Hall with us, who is our vice president of syndication. Mr. Hall and I are partnered in the business of the Phil Henry Show, and yet we're talking here tonight, David, about you wanting the speed limit in Texas to be kept low at 55 or 65, whatever it is, because you think it's going to, or you've been trying to tell my audience that it's going to force people to travel through Texas faster, and they won't stop at a hamburger stand. Yes, I said hamburger stand that you've invested in.
I would hope that you'd have more respect for me and my partners and call it a fast food restaurant chain and not a hamburger stand, like they're walking up to some guy who's smoking a cigar while he's flipping the patties. I mean, this is going to be a nice place.
All right, I understand that. I understand that. But I also think it's a tad dishonest for you to say that this is about saving children's lives. I don't think that this is about saving children's lives. It's about your business.
It is about saving children's lives. It is about saving kids from being thrown from a car at 85. And that gentleman said we go 85 already. Someone should find out where he lives and place him under arrest.
And why?
He's admitting to violating the law blatantly and with glee.
And he didn't say with glee. He said they'd go 85 miles an hour.
And if he loses control of that car and a child is jettisoned from that car, and let me tell you something, Phil. Autism is on the rise in America. You know that autism is a, and I know that you know Coach Jags and Doug Flutie and those guys who are involved in it.
Right.
I mean, they're involved in the.
They're involved in attacking the problem. Yes, because they both have autistic kids.
Okay. Speed can jar the brain of a small child, almost like you're shaking the kid. Only it's not shaking child. It's just that the speed is so fast. The child does not focus on the surroundings. It becomes a blur, and the autism is then, you know, then the autism's made. And what I mean is
what do you mean the autism's made?
Because of the speed, everything is blurred up, which is what happens if you're autistic. It's all a blur, and you don't even care anymore because someone will say, well, look at that ice cream truck or look at that dog, and to you, it's just one big smear, just like a paint smear. So you don't respond, because to you, it's what's the point? You're asking me to look at a dog, it looks to me it's like an oil slick.
What is this? I don't understand that. What is that like a layman's...
I'm giving it to you in a layman's terms, but that's autism.
What's that got to do with speed?
A kid in a car going too fast comes down with it.
Comes down with autism?
Yes, because of the speed.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We have listening to us tonight in Houston is Nicholas. Hi, Nicholas. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall.
Yes, sir. Honor and a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I would like to say that the only autism is going to come from this, what this guy is serving in his hamburgers. One thing I'd like to say is
cricket,
we'd like to deal with
cricket,
our own politics.
Cricket.
What was that?
I said cricket. You didn't get any laughs.
Okay. Well, that's amusing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The one thing that I can say is the one thing we do enjoy here in Texas is that we deal with our own politics the way we like to deal with them. And,
hold on for a minute, Nicholas. Would you stop making those noises, Mr. Hall?
I just did a joke.
Yeah, and you got off your cricket line, so now we've moved on.
Fine.
Exactly. So I have a formidable cell phone service, so I don't need to deal with this guy chiming in. He's got problems, obviously. What makes him think that some guy driving down the road going 85 needs to use the restroom and in some interval that he doesn't actually have to pull over and use the restroom at this guy's place? Because obviously the only reason they would stop at his point of business is to use the restroom.
Well, sir, you took an awfully long time to insult me. You could have just simply said, I don't think your business is going to be worth stopping at, and it could have ended at that. And that's why I said to you what I said originally, which was basically this. You can hear those, right? So what I'm trying to say is...
Oh, could you quit fooling around?
Well, he didn't make a point. What's he saying? I've got to have a bad restaurant, so what? What do you want me to say to him?
Well, the gentleman is saying that what makes you think people are going to stop for any restaurant?
He didn't say that. He was insulting my restaurant. So I will say again,
you've been 85 miles an hour
with a child sitting in your car, and maybe they got a seatbelt on, maybe they don't, I don't know, only hastens the end of that child's life. I can't believe this. I can't even believe we're having this discussion. It's too high a rate of speed.
But that's not what you said originally. You said you didn't like it because it sent people to California too fast. You said you didn't like it because people wouldn't stop at the restaurant. So your credibility here with the well-being of children, David, I think is just a little suspect.
I said that autism in children is caused. Let me ask you something.
No, I'm going to ask you, what speed is appropriate?
What's that?
What speed is appropriate?
A speed slow enough to see the signs outside a burger joint.
Autism from eating his beef.
Yeah, we heard that already. You didn't get a laugh the first time, and you're not getting a laugh now. I don't understand why you keep going back to that. It's stale, okay? Do you understand? Listen.
Now,
the burgers are... You turn that off. God. All right, thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Because he is sort of right, that line we already heard. Here is Dan, I think it is, or Cam, rather. Cam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
This is Cam. I'm calling you from Austin, Texas, the capital of Texas.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you. So I think this all actually boils down to the fact that Governor Perry down here for the longest time has had this grand idea of the Trans-Texas Corridor, which would get the trucks from Mexico or all the way up, you know, past, give him 35, basically, and eminent domain would basically kick in and take away farmers' land, etc. And that got shot down by the Texas government, basically, in the past week or two. And so the idea of raising the speed limit is quite simply just to get those trucks and basically any kind of shipping from point A to point B. Here in Austin, our speed limits are 65 miles an hour, 55 at night.
That sends them to California faster. Other than that, I don't know what you just said, but thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's quite simply, if we're not going to have a Trans-Texas Corridor like our governor has wanted for the longest time, which was...
Trans-Texas Corridor, what is that? That sounds like a movie.
Corridor. Trans-Texas Corridor was the governor's grand scheme idea of having this multi-lane...
Will you let the guy talk? God, I can't hear what the man's saying.
It was a grand scheme thing where the governor wanted all of this mass transit following through the state through basically one channel set of lines, and that got shot down by the government here, the local government. And so due to that, I think that the raising the speed limits is quite simply just getting the trucks from point A to point B so that commerce
okay,
can
well,
continue.
Thanks very much for that. I appreciate that very much, sir. That was really, really uninteresting. Here is, I think it's Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, I understand not wanting to raise it to 85 if you have a legitimate
right.
reason. I mean,
right.
if people are going to visit your restaurant, they're going to visit your restaurant regardless. If they don't, it's the speed limit's not going to stop them from stopping at your food chain. It's not going to make
it difference. It encourages them.
Now,
it encourages them to go fast. And if they're going fast, they're not going to stop.
Saying, you know, that you're doing it for the kids. Now, if that was a legitimate reason that you didn't want it raised, that would be understandable. But from my point of view, what you're trying to say is for your fast food restaurant. And I think that's not a legitimate reason
You said that you don't think a faster speed limit is going to cause people not to stop. Why? If the guy is sailing through the state at a beautiful 90 miles an hour, why does he want to stop and get a burger? He'll wait till he gets to New Mexico.
It's a big state, man.
Well, it don't matter. If they're not going to stop at your restaurant, the speed limit's not going to make a difference.
That's where we disagree. I think it does. Because if you're going 85 and it feels good and you got the autopilot on and everything is, what do you want to stop at? You know, you're just going to keep going.
What if you got to go to the bathroom?
You'll stop at a gas station. Oh, see, this is going to kill business, and it'll kill kids. It'll kill burger stands and kids. The only question is, which die faster?
Oh, you're full of crap. You're full of crap. You said so yourself. Kill kids and burger stands.
All right, if I'm full of crap, I'm the only one that's brought this point up. Not one person in Texas said, is this a safety issue? And I believe it is a safety issue.
Like I said before, if your reasons were other than to promote your fast food restaurant, that would be totally understandable. I would understand that, but it's uh-huh. not. It's clearly it's to promote your restaurant, and I think that's ridiculous. If they're going to raise it, they're going to raise it. And like I said before, they're not going to stop if they don't want to stop.
Sir, I thought Texas was a state that was friendly to business. That's what I was told. That's what everyone told me, that Perry, he loves business. And now I'm told, no, he doesn't love it that much. He's going to raise the speed limit to 85 just to have a couple of kicks watching people sail past my restaurant like there's ptomaine poisoning in there. And I don't think that's funny.
Oh, he's not doing it for those reasons at all. The other guy probably had a good point if he would have kicked, spit it out a little faster, that they want to get the truck traffic going, that they want to make it a safer, perhaps a more efficient state for truck traffic to get through. Thanks very much for your call, Robert, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Chris in Houston. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Chris is not there. Oh, it's Gene. I'm sorry, Gene. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make two points real quick. Number one, Texas is a huge place. It's farther from Dallas to Chicago, or Dallas to El Paso, than it is from Dallas to Chicago. And time is money. It's a money thing. It's an economic thing. And also, as far as the safety issue goes, the Autobahn in Germany statistically is the safest freeway in the world, and there is no speed limit.
But you know something? I'll give you something that you don't know. You probably do know this. The Autobahn is engineered, and the Autobahn is maintained in a way that no other roadway in America is maintained. I mean, they are on that thing 24/7 somewhere, correcting the, you know, everything about it. They got it so that it is, what do you call it in racing when they tilt the thing?
When they tilt the thing?
Yeah, when they have like a...
You mean the angle?
Yeah. Anyway, all of that is done with attention to speed and safety. And we don't even measure up. Those are Germans. You know how good they are.
Yeah, huh.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well...
What?
They're good, but there's some things they ain't too good at. Like fighting a war. But let's get...
I knew you'd get that in. Boy, I knew you'd get that in.
All right, well, let's talk about their Autobahn, all right? You probably have a point. The fact is that if you're going to raise the speed limit, you want the roads to be safe. But our roads here in the States, we're not talking about an unlimited speed limit. We're talking about simply raising it to 85. We're not saying 150, 160, 200. We're talking about 85 miles an hour, which is very reasonable, which people are traveling at that speed anyway. And this gentleman here, Gene, how fast do you go? You live in Texas. What do you, when you're on the open highway going somewhere, what do you push it to?
Oh, listen to this.
No, don't give me that. What do you push it to? Oh, he hung up.
Yeah, that's how interesting you are.
Get out of here. I do 90 myself.
That's a violation of the law.
Maybe. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with David G. Hall about Texas raising its speed limit to 85 miles an hour. He says it's going to be bad for business. He says it's going to be unsafe. And he doesn't want Texas doing that. And he doesn't even live in Texas. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I don't know, I don't really want to talk about it.
I'm just bringing up, that doesn't look like Glenn Close's sister.
There's a commercial on TV, folks, about for people who are bipolar, and Glenn Close is there with a woman who David says is her sister. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jim in Boston. Go ahead, Jim. You're on with David G. Hall on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I want to make a comment to this airhead there. You know, I don't know where you come up with this scheme that, well, if you drive at 85, you know, the child's going to come down with autism. It's not a cold. You don't come down with autism. A child is born with it.
I'm not familiar with the term.
You need to get your facts straight before you go and say some garbage like that, because it's not like
you just said that the kid gets a cold.
It's not like a cold.
Not come down with autism. I don't know where you get your facts from, but I have friends that have autistic children myself, and you're born with it. The child is born with it. Where it doesn't matter how fast you drive, you can do 100 miles an hour everywhere you go. No person in the world has ever come down with autism. You're born with it. Okay. And
in regards to your joint, it doesn't matter whether
it's your burger stand, your Sloppy Joe's farmhouse, or whatever, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, it doesn't matter. They're going to stop if they want, regardless. So if they don't want to stop at Sloppy Joe's farmhouse there that you own, they're not going to stop. They don't care. So it doesn't matter how fast you drive.
What are you? Are you the president of Trivial Pursuit or something? You the guy that publishes
I'm
the...
I'm telling you a fact.
You know
I'm
everything,
telling you
don't
a fact, because I'm a former truck driver. And no matter... And yeah, I
well,
know...
Okay,
I'm in
so maybe, that, maybe you know maybe you know about fast food joints, but you don't know about autism.
Well, wait. Hold on for a minute, David. Let the man talk.
I don't know about autism. I don't.
Right.
I don't know about
I know
autism.
You don't.
Okay, why don't you tell me that something, Dr. Phil?
Here is... I'll tell you... Sir, all I'm saying
come
is...
Come on, I'm waiting.
I invested in a hamburger stand, and these guys want to... They want to hike the speed limit.
Hamburger joint. It's all about your hamburger joint. That's all you
care about. No, it's about safety and autism, too.
It's about... Is it hamburgers? Is it safety? Is it autism? You've got three things going on here.
Will you allow me? I happen to
safety.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that you drive along at 55 like Grandma Jones? Come on, buddy. Come on,
I
let's
go
get realistic.
At,
let's
I'll realistic. Tell you what I do. I do 65. If you hike it to 85, that means I do 100. And that means kids die. And then
you
kids
set
die.
Your cruise control 65? Come on, man. Like,
what are you
really?
Laughing at?
I'm not looking at you. It doesn't make any sense.
What do you, go? What speed limit do you go at?
This man is talking about, David.
What's laughing at you?
No, they're not. Well, first of all, you said that autism, you don't have any facts at your fingertips about autism. I read a study where if you go too fast, it blurs the kid's head out.
Everybody reads a study. I can read a study, too. how to read, yeah, read well, a maybe digest while I'm in my bathroom in the morning.
Wait a minute, I want to ask you something. What do you mean that you read a study that blurs the kid's mind out?
Speed does.
Well, what does that mean,
really?
Blurs it out?
Can it go into your brain? Can you soak in everything?
Well, you listen to this guy. This guy's a truck driver, and all of a sudden he knows about burgers, autism, everything.
Are you going to come
well, what do you know about it? What do you know about
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
something?
I hear you, buddy.
I'll tell you what. I'm a businessman.
Autism is not a call, so it doesn't matter.
If you let my business grow, I would have business for truck drivers bringing supplies in, but you don't want
that. I'll tell
you what,
I wouldn't.
You want me to go out of business.
I wouldn't stop at your grease pit, that's for sure.
You wouldn't, how do you know it's a grease pit? Until you
I don't stop. I don't stop at fast
into a hall burger.
A hall burger.
Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead.
Man,
you
know something? If you
got a joint, really,
you got
buddy?
You got your partners.
You know, this
what's
here,
next? Fried pork chops? Are you going to have fried pork chops?
You know, hey,
next?
Well, it's what do you eat in Boston? Probably that cabbage. Oh, God, I don't even. Don't tell me.
Cabbage, yeah, I eat a boiled dinner. That's.
Anyway, sir, thank you very much.
I go to the farmhouse.
You go to the farmhouse?
There's local ones.
I bet you think you got to milk a cow for one, don't you?
All right. Well, what's the point of this?
I do know how to milk a cow, as a matter of fact. I do know how to milk a cow. You think in Boston all there is a city? There's country out there.
I think all you got in Boston is cows that you got to milk. I don't think there is any city there. That's what I think.
Oh, there's plenty of
city,
buddy. You ever been to Boston?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, I have, and it's a great city. I've been to Boston. It's a beautiful city. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. And that's it. David G. Hall.
And I want to say something. You didn't once take my side. I ordered you.
You ordered me to what?
Take my side.
Phil Hendry.
Or milk a cow.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
She told me a teacher told her to put her hair in her
surgery
face.
Surgery is kind of the last, not gas.
The bill that I'm introducing would prohibit any restaurant from offering an
Why incentive. Are you here tonight and not in Congress?
Teabagging Queen Rachel Maddow.
Bastard from a basket!
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this bitch. And welcome to a program, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Really believe in this beautiful place called America, all of it, including your fast food joint there, Mr. Hall. 877-876-PHIL as we join together. Every night, marching, lockstep, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, over top of all the horse dung, and then hosing off afterwards.
Sounds like pretty dry, though.
That sounds like we're marching over fairly dry and compacted terrain. Maybe the horse dung is behind us. And anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the normal number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are into our news and comment hour. Bud and Robert is with, R.M. with me.
How do you say that?
Bud and Robert are with me, yeah.
No, okay.
Well, are you going to correct me, Bud? Who knows more about grammar than me, okay?
No, you're right. I thought it would be Bud and Robert is with me.
No. No, it ain't.
That's all right to me.
No, it's not. Just trust me on that one. Bud and Robert is with me. No.
But what if you said Robert and Bud?
It doesn't make any... Why would it make any difference? It's the same thing.
Same thing. It's not the same thing. You just said it's the same thing and not the same thing.
Robert and Bud and Robert, doesn't matter. If I said Robert and Bud or Bud and Robert is with me, it would be wrong. It would be wrong in a lot of ways. It would be wrong grammatically, and it would also just flat be wrong. So why don't you guys leave early?
All right, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show right now, and we also have that video on demand for 5 days. It is in HD, baby. It is I'll tell you, the picture that we have that's going out to the Big Wide Beautiful World. Each and every night is a beautiful HD picture, so join us at philhenryshow.com. Our archives, we are continually adding to them, and we are creating all of those character bits now. We're making them into downloads. So the downloads alone, the available material alone, and we're not even done. We've still got to finish out 2001, and everything will be in the archive. And I believe we're coming up on one half of the year there. So all that leaves then is completing the show logs. This has been a process that we started back in March when we relaunched the site, because the website had just gone into, it had gone to hell, man. But the first thing we did was we got our video up, and we offered that to our listeners. And the second thing we did is we began to work on getting those archives up to speed and redesigning the site. So we're happy to have you with us. Join us over there at philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass. Now then, it's time for budget news. Oh, yeah. Budget news, and this is the latest, baby. This is updated?
Yeah, this is the latest they got there. I got that from Rance. Plus, they're right there, some audio.
All right. Barely more than an hour before midnight deadline on Friday night, officials announced a deal to avert a government shutdown. Yes, it was Harry Reid who stood there and said the following.
Bastard from a basket!
And then they all, I'm kidding. No, the agreement to keep the government funded for the next 6 months would cut approximately $38 billion from the 2010 budget baseline. Now, the agreement to keep the government funded for the next 6 months would cut approximately $38 billion from the 2010 budget baseline and $78.5 billion from President Obama's 2011 budget proposal. It would also keep intact funding to Planned Parenthood and resist several other proposed Republican policy changes. State Democrats did agree to separately debate and vote on these issues on the Senate floor in the near future, something the Democratic leadership has said they would not do. That is, the funding for Planned Parenthood and these other Republican proposed changes. The Senate is, of course, where the Democrats have a majority. I mean, a lot of this is all extremely complex stuff when it comes to agreeing on budgets. All we know is the government going to keep operating, which means are people going to get paid? And, you know, you're right, and I agree with you. There's too much spending. There's too much outlay in Washington. There's too many employees. There's too many people that we have to worry about who are federally employed. I'm not saying that they are not worthy people. I would never go that far. I don't think anybody who's a real decent human being would. You may disagree with the fact that their job exists, as I would. But I don't think I'm not going to, in a very cavalier way, say, well, the hell with them, man. Go ahead, shut it down. They don't get paid. But the fact of the matter is, you do got to get serious. You have to get serious. And if those are the people you have to talk to and say, I'm sorry, we ain't got the money, you would hope that they'd understand. Perhaps not. In any event, we protected the investments we need to win the future, President Obama said. We protected the investments we need to win the future, President Obama said after the deal was struck. Okay. The House and Senate.
You read that like he's doing a play.
I know. I was like, we protected the investments, President Obama said after the deal was struck. The House and Senate passed temporary resolutions to keep the government funded beyond midnight when it was scheduled to run out until the full agreement could be drafted and passed by Congress. That short-term bridge included first $2 billion in cuts. Though the House vote came after midnight, the Office of Management and Budget said there would be no shutting down of government agencies because agreement had been reached and funding was anticipated. Very, very, well, I think if this is something that is going to be, for the short term at least, better than worse. You know, think about it, folks. If there is a shutdown, which at the end of the day, I don't give a damn. I don't work for the government. But if there is a shutdown, now there's a whole lot of hurt feelings there, and that's a whole bunch of crap you got to wade through. I'd just as soon, you know what they say, pick your battles? You know the saying, pick your battles. What does that mean? It means some of these battles you would go ahead and fight another day on something a little bit more important. President Obama spoke tonight about the agreement between the Democrats and Republicans.
Tomorrow, I'm pleased to announce that the Washington Monument, as well as the entire federal government, will be open for business. And that's because today, Americans of different beliefs came together again. In the final hours before our government would have been forced to shut down, leaders in both parties reached an agreement that will allow our small businesses to get the loans they need, our families to get the mortgages they applied for, and hundreds of thousands of Americans to show up at work. and take home their paychecks on time, including our brave men and women in uniform.
House Speaker John Boehner spoke briefly tonight, says he's happy with the deal. Here's an excerpt. No government shutdown. Officials agree to deadline.
I'm pleased that Senator Reid and I and the White House have been able to come to an agreement that will, in fact, cut spending and keep our government open. As you all know, this has been a lot of discussion and a long fight. But we fought to keep government spending down because it really will, in fact, and help create a better environment for job creators in our country.
By the way, this is ABC-sourced information that we are giving you tonight. I would expect the final vote on this, said Boehner later on, to occur mid-next week. That, John Boehner. This has been a long discussion, a long fight. We fought, you just heard him, and I think it was an interesting quote. He said, we fought to keep the government spending down because it really will, in fact, help create a better environment. I don't know if he was tired, you know, or, you see, I think he was just tired, you know.
Well, yeah, he didn't sound convinced, though.
Yeah, I think he's convinced. I think he's just tired of having to convince other people. And I think he probably, in the middle of all of that, someone said to him something along the lines of, you're a real chicken blank, 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 man, having to make us fight through all this stuff. And, you know, Representative Boehner, he's a nice man, but he does have a tendency, he's a very sensitive guy.
Yeah, he's probably going to cry and everything.
Oh, quit it.
What are you going to make fun of a guy crying? You're
Steve's all...
He didn't do that.
Yeah, he did. And he's probably, when they were talking, probably like, hey, Boehner, are you going to cry again and everything? Or are you going to be a normal... You got to stand... Are you going to get a man up and everything? So funny.
I don't know. It's just the way you put things, man. All right. Democratic officials tried to portray the deadline deal as one in which Boehner blinked. They argued the levels, and I suspected something like that happened because of the way he said what he said. They argued the level of cuts were similar to those discussed during the week at the White House the night before. The officials said Boehner came back during Friday asking for more cuts, but Obama refused. In addition, money will not be taken from programs the president favors, such as Head Start, but instead from the automatic mandatory spending appropriated for departments such as the Pentagon and the Department of Transportation. They gave on the EPA, NPR, and Planned Parenthood riders, a Democratic official said. If you think about it, though, the EPA, NPR, and Planned Parenthood, that's not really the name of the game. That's not, you know, and I have to tell you, I understand a great many of us who want these cuts, and we want deep, deep cuts in government spending. I understand there are a great many who really feel that EPA, NPR, and Planned Parenthood, those are places to make a stand. No, they're not. No, they're not. You know where the place is to make a stand. You know where it's always been. Everybody listening to me tonight, you know exactly where it is. And all of the walking in a circle there at the edge of the cliff, knowing that we got to jump and we don't want to, all of that walking in a circle there where the doors are open, the bomb bay doors are open, and we got to, yep, you know, jump out with it. Well, not the bomb bay doors. You're not going to jump through the bomb bay doors, are you?
Well, if you're a bomb.
Not if you're a bomb.
Just show.
Why, you dirty.
Just kidding.
Yeah, parachute is what I'm trying to say. You know, cuts to NPR and this stuff ain't going to get it done, man. The biggie, the big one, baby. The big entitlement of all time, Social Security. I'm completely in favor of gutting that sucker. That's me, though, see? That's just me. Like the man said in Boogie Nights, I better not say.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Don't quote that.
You know what I mean. And so we can talk. So if I'm listening to the show right now, you're going, man, he gave in on Planned Parenthood. Whatever. That's not what a real conservative's worried about right now. Real conservatives are worried about real cuts, man. I'm talking about real multi-billion dollar cuts that are going to make a difference in this deficit and in this debt. And Planned Parenthood and NBR is chicken crap. So let the Democrats say that the Republicans gave on that chicken crap, because that's exactly what it is. Where we really got to see the stuff cut is in the big entitlement. And folks, that's the fight, that's the battle, and that is one that we are all going to have to join in on and walk right over top of the Social Security entitlements. And yes, I'll say it, Medicare.
You're an old lady and everything.
You're walking over an old lady. No, we're not walking over an old lady. We're all right, and maybe not Medicare right now, but soon. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on your radio all across the country and on our website, philhendryshow.com. Do you want to know the best way to handle a baby squirrel? Really? We're going to tell you. It may not be the nicest way, but apparently it's the best way. Or is it? We'll find out. We'll get into the story that is some kids flipped out. There are some kids ready to go. They're ready to go squirrely on this thing. PhilHendryShow.com, our website. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here at our news and comment hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Okay, so it's about a baby squirrel, and the audio is called Baby Squirrel. So what's the name of the story? Do you suppose we have a story in here called Baby Squirrel? What's the name of the story?
I gotta look it up.
You gotta look it up. So in this show, don't think too fast on this show, man, because it ain't going to happen. Officer. Is that what it starts with? Officer. All right, so we have here this squirrel. Now, if you're watching the show on the video, we're going to show you here. Officer stops baby squirrel with pepper spray in front of middle schoolers. Some parents and students upset. Officer Davis, This guy is Officer Davis in quotes. They don't want to give his real name because he may get hate mail from a bunch of eight-year-olds. So here is the audio of what happened as Officer... Now, I don't know what happened, so maybe I'm going to read the story to you first so we can get this straight. But apparently, while the YouTube video of a police officer using pepper spray on a baby squirrel has shocked many, including the group of young students who witnessed it, the Mesquite Police Department is defending the officer's actions. This was in Mesquite, Texas. According to Mesquite PD Sergeant Wes Talley, a baby squirrel began chasing students around outside at Kimbrough Middle School Wednesday afternoon. The school resource officer was called to help. Officer Davis, in quotes, stood between a group of students and the animal because it was acting unusual and he thought it could be rabid. Very good, Officer Davis. The officer's not been identified by the department. He's called Officer Davis on the video, which has gone viral. So this animal was chasing kids, and if it had rabies and your kid gets bit by a rabid squirrel, you don't even want to know about the Louis Pasteur treatment.
What's that?
That's the shots you get, the rabies shots you get if you're bit by a rabid animal.
What do you mean, man?
I don't even want to go into it.
Come on, you're kidding around.
No, I'm not kidding around. No, I'm not. Look it up. Look it up. And if you've got an eight-year-old kid and you got to put the kid through a series of shots that you're supposed to get if you're bit by a rabid animal, you don't want to know about it. All right, so here is now Officer Davis, who was identified. At least he was called Officer Davis, I guess, on the video. That's how people know who he is. And you'll hear the kids, and we will also show the video here on our website. We'll roll that right now, as a matter of fact. Here's the audio.
Okay. So for it to be coming to a center,
it's not right.
Yes. Don't raise it.
No, I'm going to cry.
You
got to tase it.
Don't
tase it.
Tase it.
Officer Davis from Mesquite ISD. Don't spray him.
You don't get that stuff in your eyes or breathe it in. Go.
Don't spray him. Don't spray him.
God. And then somebody puts their hand over the dang video because they're afraid. Police brutality. Blow your nose with paper towels and go to jail. I got to see that one. I'm kidding. Let's listen to this one more time. Now, what you're going to hear and what you are also seeing simultaneously on our video cast is Officer Davis. This squirrel was chasing kids, and the officer thought it's possible if the animal bites one of these children, that if the animal is rabid, that is, has rabies, it is a fatal infection unless you get rabies treatment. So let's listen one more time to the kids as they flip out when Officer Davis decides he's got to take a squirrel down. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
So for it to be coming to a center,
it's not right.
Yes. Don't raise it.
No, I'm going to cry.
You got to tase it.
Tase it.
Tase it.
Officer Davis MSGISD. Don't spray him!
Don't get that stuff in your eyes or breathe it in. Go.
Don't spray him! Don't spray him!
So you can hear you hear the relative intelligence of the people there. First of all, they think it's a taser. No, it's pepper spray. You hear a couple of the mothers say, no, he has to do that. Oh, what's he going to do? And then you hear them say, don't tase it, don't spray it. Then they flip out, and then somebody puts their hand over the camera, and there's Officer Davis walking away with the pepper spray, and he did a great job. And now I understand, and I'm happy that he did what he did. By the way, the squirrel was taken to wherever. They took it to squirrel hospital.
Yeah, they took it down to a squirrel clinic.
Yeah, it was squirrel clinic. And
really?
No, not really. They took it to a vet.
Yeah, but it would be a squirrel clinic, wouldn't it?
I don't know if it's a squirrel clinic. And they treated the squirrel for, and they booked it. They booked it into custody for giving crap to the cop. And get him taking me serious.
You don't believe that, do you? No, I don't believe a squirrel is going to book it.
They booked the squirrel, and the squirrel did resist, so it was use of squirrel violence over the color of authority. In any event, so that's what happened. Now, the young people that saw that were traumatized brutally, and for the rest of their lives, they'll remember Officer Davis spraying Squirrely the squirrel there as it was collecting nuts. And it should have collected a few of those moms and a couple of those kids, because they're battier than the squirrel and the cop put together. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, what do you think, really?
I've told you what I think, man. The cop, the police said, if that animal was rabid, you got trouble. Now, I got to tell you something. I drove down the street the other day. I saw a dog. I'm not kidding. I saw a dog with foam on its mouth. And, of course, that's the old cartoon, you know, the foaming mouth dog. You think it's rabid? And then I saw the owner come up to it and pet it, and it was fine. And it turned out the dog had been, he was washing his car. The dog stuck his snout in the suds.
You thought it had rabies?
I don't know, man. I didn't know. The squirrel is alive. School administrators called Mesquite Animal Control. A technician picked it up, cleaned the pepper spray off of it before returning it to the wild. All right. A mom is surprised to find out she's in trouble for leaving her kids home alone for a week, plus in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. That's the case in Maryland. PhilHenryShow.com, our best of CDs, our archives, our blog. Email access to Phil. It's all there. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And so we looked up, did you look it up, Robert?
Yeah, I looked it up here, man. They don't stick it in your stomach no more. Apparently they put it in the arm.
Put it in the arm. So that's a step up if you get rabies. We were talking about it because that squirrel that was acting squirrely, and Officer Davis had to drop it. He had to put it down, man. And I don't blame the guy. You know.
Yeah, what difference does it make now, though? If they're going to give you a shot in the arm, it won't be like you're going to stick it in the abdomen.
The abdomen? You mean the abdomen.
Well, all right, but where they put the shot?
Yeah, they used to. They used to stick you. They used to give you a shot in the older rabies vaccines required painful daily injections in the abdomen for up to 3 weeks. The abdomen being what, bud?
The butt.
The butt.
What an idiot, man.
The stomach.
I don't know. Don't they give you a shot in the butt?
This wasn't in the butt, man. This is a whole new level of weird. This is in the gut, Jack. Not anymore, though. That's the good news. They don't do that anymore. Now, and the older, by the way, the older rabies vaccine, they'd give you these shots in the abdomen, and they could produce severe side effects. I don't know what those... All I know is growing up, people used to say, you know, boy, you don't ever want the rabies treatment. And I'm like, okay. I mean, whatever you say. And I'll tell you why that was serious. Because if you're a kid and you're running around a neighborhood back in the 50s and 60s, like I was as a kid, and a dog bites you, if the dog didn't have some kind of certificate that it had had its rabies vaccine, you don't know. The doctor doesn't know. Animal control doesn't know. And so some kids, like you know, when I was a kid, would have to go through that rabies treatment, and it sucks, Jack. And it was for 27 days. You'd get a shot like every, well, this says 3 weeks. However, the good news, current vaccines are relatively painless and are given in your arm like a flu or a tetanus shot.
Oh, so they don't do it in the abdomen.
No, they don't do it in the abdomen. Beginning post-exposure rabies treatment is a medical urgency, not a medical emergency, but it is a medical urgency. Meaning if you get bit by a rabid animal, such as that squirrel, if one of those children was bit, they say a doctor has to evaluate this immediately. Some of the side effects from the old rabies treatment, just to give an example, were arthritis, swelling under the skin like hives, nausea, vomiting, fever, malaise, all kinds of terrible, terrible side effects. And again, you were going through this treatment for up to a month. But now they, and this has occurred over the last 30 years, I think, that doctors have developed these rabies vaccines. So you get the vaccine over a 28 period. You also get an immune globulin, which they administer 5 doses of this, and so everything is it's a beautiful thing. But the whole point being, you don't want to get bit by a rabid animal. It could, if not treated, it can lead to death, rabies. And
you foam at the mouth and act like a wild man and everything?
I don't know if you foam at the mouth and act like a wild man. I have no idea. We do know that rabid dogs have been known to do that if they are symptomatic and they're not dying from the disease. See, eventually the animal that has rabies is going to die.
You mean that squirrel?
The squirrel, if the squirrel had rabies, the squirrel would die. But before it dies, it develops these symptoms of this sort of erratic behavior, and yes.
You know, it's like a rage virus, man, if you want to get down to it.
The rage virus? Well,
yeah, it is. Think about it. On the people that had that, probably like rabies, too.
Rabies.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
No, man, I don't know what you're saying about the rage virus. You mean in 28 days later?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the guy got the idea. You get bit by a rage, you know, like a rage virus, and maybe like that's what happened. You can pepper spray them.
You ain't going to pepper spray those cats in 28 days later, man. That ain't going to stop them. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's the cop did to that one. Yeah, the squirrel had it.
The squirrel didn't have rage virus. The squirrel could have had rabies.
What happened if a squirrel get it?
Rage virus? I guess it would be so pissed off it'd try to eat a human being or something. I don't know. Symptoms are usually vague and include fatigue, muscle ache, anxiety, and irritability.
What, rage virus?
No, you idiot. Rabies. Rage virus. Let me tell you something. That 28 days disease you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
That's the least of your problems, irritability and anxiety.
Quit laughing about it.
Oh, well, look at you all scared, huh? Woo!
Shut up.
Woo! Got the rage virus, bud.
Quit it.
Anyway, one of the truly early symptoms is pain and itchiness. That's for rage virus, not rabies.
You mean like in 28 days later, they get bit by a zombie, and the first thing they notice, they itch.
Exactly. That dude. Did you guys see the second one?
No, I heard it sucked.
Are you kidding? The second one was great. Second one was a little more like, you know, Green Zone, NATO, all this shit. But anyway, the hero of the movie, well, the hero of the movie, one of the main actors of the movie, Robert Carlyle, he gets infected by the rage virus. And I could just imagine, and they show you him transforming, you know, into like this crazed zombie. But I could imagine him, the first thing, God, I have this itching under the armpit, you know.
Yeah, cut out. You don't know.
Oh, will you get out of here, man? In any event, it is not uncommon for humans to have what is called furious rabies, and these individuals have episodes of agitation. Hey, maybe you're onto something, bud. They can have seizures, can thrash out, become very aggressive, run to Paris through the channel. They may have severe farnianegial spasms and become very thirsty. I don't know what
fairy spasm.
Okay, they have fairy spasm.
Huh?
Anyway, the combination is no doubt what causes the excessive salivating and drooling that occurs when you have rage virus. When untreated, a human being only survives approximately 8 days with supportive care. Life can be extended up to a month. Oh, that's terrible. It's a terrible, horrible way to go. You don't want it. That's rabies. All right. Thanks very much, Officer.
Officer Davis!
Yeah, what's that lady yelling about?
I don't know, but I mean, like, you know, I just think it's a very good idea that when a police officer is dealing with an animal, and just shut up, you know, let him do what he's got to do. Because I know it's a squirrel, and I know they look so cute, and I know they look so bitchin', but, you know, I personally, I don't like squirrels.
You don't?
No, I hate them. I can't stand the damn things.
Why?
Because they're vermin, man, as far as I'm concerned. A squirrel, I mean, yeah, they're pretty, but they ain't so pretty when they're crawling around in your attic or they're under your house or and they carry disease, so don't even worry about it, man. You know, I don't hate them as much as I hate rats, but squirrels to me can be cute. I wouldn't feed one.
What are you talking about, man? Squirrels are friendly and they'll eat nuts and everything.
Yeah. You know something, man? That just doesn't, you know, gun my engine. I see a squirrel and I see some thing that is living around humans and it could carry disease and get out of here. I mean, I'll sit on a park bench. I ain't going to bother it if it doesn't bother me.
You afraid of them or something?
I'm not afraid of them. You guys don't understand what I'm saying here. I look at animals that live in the city. Some are domesticated. Wild animals are a different thing. For instance, pigeons. They're filthy. You think I'm going to sit there and feed pigeons? No way, man.
Do you like birds?
I like birds. I like animals. But pigeons are just filthy animals, you know. And squirrels ain't much better. And frankly, if it was legal, I'm kidding. I wouldn't hurt them. But they're just, you know, you got to watch it, man. That's all I'm saying. You saw that thing and you heard what that cop knew. And these other people, you know, we look at these animals and we think that just like that poor guy, Tim, I always come back to Tim Treadwell. I always come back to the grizzly man. You know, because what that guy said in that movie will always be the truest thing when it comes to people and animals, and some people and animals, some people who just don't have a clue, it's always going to be the truth, that you think that these are human beings wearing squirrel suits or something, or you think that they're human beings wearing bear suits, and they're not. They're wild, damn animals, and they can hurt you.
No human being's going to be in a squirrel outfit. Are you serious, man?
Yeah, are you serious?
No, what I'm saying is, you can't... Are you going to say you're going to relate to a squirrel?
Relate to a squirrel? Are you telling me that Treadway or whatever the hell that guy... What's that guy's name?
I think it's Tim Treadwell.
Tim Treadwell related to bears because they were big enough to be human? I don't understand, man.
You can't relate to a squirrel or a weasel.
You can't relate to a squirrel or a... Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Because people relate to dogs and cats, and they're nowhere near as big as humans.
Good point.
Tim Treadwell was his name. All right, the Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. What's next, boss? Oh, Dodger fans who cause trouble will be arrested, according to Police Chief Beck and Mayor Villagarosa. L.A. officials on Friday announced a new zero-tolerance crackdown at Dodger Stadium, saying those who cause any trouble can expect to be arrested. Good, man! L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck said the Dodgers have agreed to create a computer crime tracking similar to the LAPD's CompStat, which has been successfully used to study crime patterns and develop crime-fighting strategies. Anybody gets out of hand, throw them in a cage and ask questions later. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. It's a Saturday tonight on KFI AM 640. Phil Hendry Show for our Los Angeles audience. If you're in the L.A. area, you can tune us in on KFI AM 640. If you are watching online, we're always there for you, our video cast. And for those of you across the country listening to the Phil Hendry Show, if you go to our website, you'll see a list of all of our great affiliates all over the United States that you can take advantage of and listen to us wherever you are. But if you don't, you've got us here online at philhendryshow.com. Tempers flare at a town hall meeting as congressmen discuss potential shutdown. Representative Jim Moran calls a vet caustic and demands that he sit down. This is according to Fox, The Washington Post, and my producer, Jason Rantz. Now, I am, I'm very, very much in favor of and supportive of veterans. I don't particularly like the Democratic blueprint for America. All of that having been said, and I'm a fan of Fox. All of that having been said, I'm going to listen to this story with an open mind because one of the things I resent is someone trying to make something into news that isn't. We'll see whether or not, in fact, this veteran was disrespected, and we'll find out exactly what the situation was. It was in Alexandria, Virginia, and tensions were high at an emergency town hall meeting held by Representative Jim Moran of Virginia. He was addressing concerns regarding a potential government shutdown. The meeting was held at Francis Hammond Middle School in Alexandria. Some frustrated constituents shouted from the audience asking the congressman to work longer hours and through the upcoming two-week holiday break. A large number of federal workers live in Moran's Northern Virginia district. Moran reminded those present that most federal workers were reimbursed for lost wages the last time the government shut down, but he added, "You should not take that for granted." Then tensions escalated during the question and answer session. In this first clip, an unidentified man spoke at Representative Jim Moran's town hall last night, complaining that while politicians bicker, troops are suffering.
Why are you here tonight and not in Congress trying to figure out how to stop this from happening? Both sides of the aisle sat there in Congress, and all they talked about is whose fault was it? Both sides threw the troops up and saying how they support them and everything like that. And yet here we are in the 11th hour, and the troops are not going to get paid, and there are troops that are barely making enough money who have their spouses deployed, and that's going to cause an extreme hardship.
All right, so I just heard that guy. Now here is the man taking on Representative Moran in the Congress for not doing enough to address the budget problem. So in other words, he's still talking.
But I don't understand why the entire Congress is not there, and you said you're ready to work this weekend. Did you work last weekend? Where was Congress last weekend? Why is everything now in the 11th hour? And I have not heard...
All right, I'm stopping this, number one, because as a conservative, I still believe in truth. That guy should shut up. Shut up. He's a veteran, yes. But he didn't go there to ask questions or to get information. He went there to make a speech. He's going on and 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 on. Redundant. He may be pissed off. There's a lot of people pissed off. Are you there to make a speech? Are you there to exchange ideas? Are you there to hear from? Does he care what this guy has to say? I mean, that's an interesting... Do you care? Or are you there just to say, before this guy says anything, he's full of crap? Now, again, I don't love Democrats at all. But one thing I don't like are big, fat mouths that just keep going on and on and on, like my own, except I'm interesting. Anyway,
Good thing you said that.
I'm going to belt you. All right, here is Representative Moran not happy with the veteran's tone. Well, let's listen to the second cut. Here is the veteran. Is he boring.
But I don't understand why the entire Congress is not there, and you said you're ready to work this weekend. Did you work last weekend? Where was Congress last weekend? Why is everything now in the 11th hour? And I have not heard one thing from you or from any congressman on, let's say the government does shut down.
Okay.
Now what are you going to do to get it going again and pass it? Now, one thing you've said tonight is what is at the end of the road.
You done?
It seems to me there is a point to making myself available for people who want to make cost of comments as well as people who have legitimate questions to ask as to what might happen if there is a government shutdown.
I this take is exception the, to calling
well,
my
fine.
Comments.
Now I'm talking, and you can sit down when you finish.
I really do take exception.
I'm
to
sure
that,
you do.
Because I didn't say anything caustic.
All right.
Can you explain why the troops are not going to get paid?
All right. Yes, I can tell you.
Can you explain how they will get paid?
Sir,
well,
you had an opportunity to speak. Now it's time to sit
well,
down.
Well, I take exception to you calling my comments caustic.
Sit down, please. Or you can leave. If you don't want to listen to the question, I suspect it was a rhetorical question.
Well, first of all, the guy didn't say anything caustic, so I agree with the gentleman, the veteran, who was speaking. It wasn't caustic. He was just redundant and bloody boring. This guy, Moran, has got a little bit of a thin skin saying that the man was being caustic. He wasn't being caustic. He was, however, being redundant. And he was also asking about 9 million freaking questions that you'd have to have a stenographer to figure out which one to answer first. But Moran, for his part, got a little on the thin skin side. Nonetheless, he did have a right to say to the guy, why don't you sit down, man, because we've just heard your series of questions, you know. This is another example of a story that is not being reported properly. We don't have the right story. And I'm getting really tired of them because, I don't know, I'm going to have to take half the news we get here at night and throw it out. And it's Fox. And I'm going to say this again. When I first took over this show, we took CNS, was a regular news service being used by my producer. I told him, you're never again going to use CNS. CNS is not a news service. WorldNet Daily. Somebody somewhere along the line said WorldNet Daily is a news service. No, it isn't. It's a right-wing blog, and I got nothing against those. But I don't use them as a news source. I use them for opinion. I'm going to have to stop using Fox. It's too bad, too, because Fox is a good news-gathering organization when they do the job. But less and less are they doing the job, and more they're giving me opinion pieces. I don't want that. I've got my own opinions. I don't need theirs. And the same thing with CNN. I don't want their opinion of the world. I want their news. I'll figure out what's going on. And my listeners will. I don't want the Washington Post's opinion of anything. I'll figure it out. Give me the news story. So this was a badly reported story, as usual. They had it, the headline itself says, makes it seem like Moran is really being cruel to the veteran, and the poor veteran was being abused. Well, I think that that Moran was a little thin-skinned about this caustic comment, but the fact is that veteran didn't ask any question at all that could be answered properly because he mixed in about three or four different questions in the middle of that long, dull diatribe. So I apologize for that. But it's a good thing it's the weekend, man.
Yeah.
And with the weekend coming up, of course, like I said, we're going to be on KFI tomorrow, or I should say tonight at 7 o'clock. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our website, philhendryshow.com. Our producer is Jason Rantz, the guy that just gave me that story to read. Rick Johnson, our technical director, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and check out our shop this weekend. The brand new Phil Hendry Show t-shirts, along with our mugs, our shot glasses, and our CDs. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you guys on Monday night. Hendry.